Amen. Good morning, Relentless Church. My name is Raf, for those that haven't had the pleasure of meeting, and I have the honor today to introduce our guest speaker to you. As you know, if you were here last week, or maybe you've heard in the last few weeks, we are have started a campaign called Immeasurably More, and today we're going to hear from a man by the name of Russ Pretty. He is our campaign advisor or consultant, whichever word you'd like to choose. He's I just want to give you a little bit of background before I invite him up here. When we decided to go this route, we interviewed four different companies, and the representatives came and they made a pitch to us, and you know, we did the whole deal, and there was about 12 of us, staff and elders and leadership team, where we're in on that process. And at the end of it all, it was unanimous. I mean, never in the history, I'll tell you this, Leadership Relentless Church, never in the history have we been unanimous about anything, okay? Agreed about anything. Unanimously agreed that that Russ was the guy, and that that this is the way that we wanted to go. So I'm excited for you to hear from him, in large part because of just his faith and his experience and the things that he has seen, testimony, and that he's going to share with us. Just super excited for you to hear from him. He's got about, 25, 30 years experience as a pastor in the local church. And most notably at a multi-ethnic church in Baltimore, Maryland. So just really excited for what God is going to do through him today. And if you would, just give a warm, relentless welcome to my man, Russ Pretty.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Relentless. Good morning. It is so good to be here in Garner, North Carolina today. I bring you greetings from Salisbury, North Carolina, where I live, which is the headquarters of Food Lion. So I bring you greetings from Food Lion. It's good to be here to talk with you this morning about Immeasurably More, your capital fundraising campaign. I'm going to just take a couple of seconds and talk with you about how important this capital fundraising campaign is. As Raf said, I've been working with churches now for 27 years. We've worked with literally hundreds of churches across the country. And on May 15th, I got an email from a guy named, his name was David Jones. Anyone know David? And he said, we're a multi-ethnic congregation in Garner, North Carolina. And we just got notice that our building that we're renting is going to be sold. We've got a lease on the building until February 1st of 2027, but we're going to have to do something, and we're going to invite four companies to come and give a presentation to our leadership, and we're going to talk about capital fundraising and how we can transition into a new building. Would you be willing to come and meet with us? And one of the first questions I was asked in our meeting was, do you ever turn people down? And my answer is yes. And usually the people that I turn down is folks who ask us to come and make presentations when other companies are involved. Does that make sense? Because it's a beauty contest, and it's just really difficult to have two or three or four other companies come and do their presentation, and usually it's just a waste of time. And so I decided, well, my first inclination is no, I don't want to do it, but I got online and looked up Relentless Church and found out there's a lot of exciting things going on here at Relentless. The most exciting thing that I could see is this is a, what is it, a multi-ethnic movement? And so I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. Maybe we'll just go over. So I emailed Pastor back and I said, yeah, we'll come and we'll do our presentation. I'd really, because of the circumstances, I'd like to have that fourth slot, because that way your folks will have plenty of time to ask questions and do all these other kinds of things. But what I was really thinking was, back in the early days of my getting into this, whenever churches would ask three companies or four companies to come and make a presentation, it seemed like it was always the last company that got the contract. Because the first guy would be in, he would bore them to death, and the second guy would come in and he would bore them even more, And then the third guy, he would bore them even more. And then the fourth guy, he was the only one they remembered. And so usually I said if I could, we would love to have that fourth slot. So pastor emails me back after a couple of days, and he says, you're going to be second. I go, oh, no, second. I said, the first guy's going to run over, and then I'm going to be crushed in time, and then the third guy. And that fourth guy, he's going to get the contract. But we came, we showed up, we met with that leadership group, and I'm telling you, God took over that meeting. It was simply a movement of God, and there just seemed to be some kind of a simpatico relationship there. And so we decided, but as my son and I were driving back to Salisbury, I said, you know, I think they'll probably narrow it down to two, and then they'll ask us to come back, and I think we've got a pretty good shot at getting that church. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, I got an email from pastor. He said, you're the guy. And I said, well, praise God for that. Relentless, you are a special church. Relentless, there is something special going on in this church. Relentless, I believe that God is doing something here that is going to turn eyes across our country as to how churches worship the Lord. I was playing golf on Friday, as I usually play golf on Friday. In fact, I usually play golf on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I was playing with a guy, tee off at 8 or 8:30 in the morning. We've always got the first tee time. And I played with a couple guys, and a couple of them are church members. And one of them said, well, where are you going to be this weekend? I see you're not playing on Saturday. And I said, well, I'm actually speaking at a church in Charleston, South Carolina, a huge Southern Baptist church that's getting ready to build a children's ministry center. And then I'm going to be in Garner, North Carolina on Sunday preaching to Relentless Church. He said, well, what's going on at that church in Garner? And I said, well, they just got notice that their building is going to be sold, and they've got to be out. If they don't buy that building, they've got to be out by February 1st, 2027. And he said, ooh. He said, you mean they could cease to exist? They could be out of business by February 1st, 2027? I said, of all the churches in 27 years that I've worked with, the one that I'm absolutely positive is going to continue to exist on February 1st, 2027, is Relentless Church, because I told him, and I'm telling you, God hasn't brought you this far to leave you on February 1st of 27. I believe God has marvelous plans for this church. We are in a capital fundraising campaign, immeasurably more. What does that mean? What that means is that you're going to be asked to pray, to seek God's face, to seek His will on you participating with the rest of the church in making a pledge which is over and above your regular budget giving toward a building fund that is going to be used in the future to accomplish whatever God has set before you. Now, every person in this church making a pledge is important. Let me tell you why. At some point in time, as Pastor David said last week, you're either going to have to buy this building, or you're going to have to buy a building, you're going to have to build a building, or you're going to have to steal a building. Did he say that? He did say that. I don't think you're going to have to steal a building, but you're going to have to buy a building or buy and build or do something. And it's probably going to require financing. And in financing, there's going to have to be a down payment. And then there's going to be debt service. The amount of money that you're pledging over and above your ministry gift is going to come into consideration by financing institutions as they make their decision about what you can borrow and how much you can borrow and how long you can borrow it for. Does that make sense? And so as you're making out that pledge card, you're going to be asked to pray, number one. Seek God's will as to what your contribution to this is. We're not seeking equal payment. We're not seeking equal gifts. We're not seeking equal giving. What we're seeking is equal sacrifice. If all of us will just sacrifice equally, we'll see what God puts together. Does that make sense? My assignment here today is to talk about stewardship. And I'm going to talk about the principles of stewardship. And stewardship is simply the way that we manage the resources that God has given us. Are you with me? Let's pray together. God, we pray that you'll take these next few minutes and that you will challenge us to look at the resources that you have given us to manage for you, and that you will help us to use them in such a way that we are bringing you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First point I want to make about stewardship is very simply this. It's the primary principle of stewardship. If you'll bring up that first slide, please. First principle of stewardship is simply this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Top line. The earth and the fullness thereof, that belongs to God. In other words, what the psalmist is simply saying is God created everything. And everything that God created belongs to him. That means that all the trees, all the seas, all the dirt, everything that's in this world, that belongs to God. Not only in this world, but all those planets, the sun and the moon and everything that's in wherever God and whatever God created, that belongs to God. Now, if we take that one step further, what it also means is everything that we have belongs to God. Every dollar in my bank account, who does it belong to? It belongs to God. Every sport coat, every pair of slacks, every pair of socks, every pair of shoes, everything that I have, everything that I possess, that really belongs to God. What it simply means is everything that I have belongs to God, and I have a stewardship responsibility to make sure that everything that I do with it is honoring to God. Everything is God's. My responsibility is to take what God has given me and give him honor with it. The problem is that in this world we have a little thing called sin. Amen? And sometimes our priorities can get messed up. And those good things that God has blessed us with can become an obsession with us. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes the pursuit of money, sometimes the pursuit of things, sometimes the pursuit of those things that are out there can take over a person. And instead of giving God honor with what we do, we try to give ourselves honor with those possessions, and it becomes obsession. The earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. The second principle is the promise. Bring that slide up, please. The promise of stewardship, and I want you to watch this. Gospel of Luke, Luke is writing, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Jesus is teaching, and he's teaching on lifestyle. And he's saying, listen, you will be a much happier person in life if you will forgive others when they trespass against you. Are you with me? In other words, if we'll let go of certain things, we'll be happier. But then he switches over to a lifestyle teaching, and he says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I want to key in on that word, give. Watch me now. Give, and what it will be given to you. What am I saying? Whatever you give in life, God's Word is saying it's going to be given back to you. Now, we could use the illustration of money. God is saying, listen, if you give money, what's going to happen? Money is going to be given back to you. Does that make sense? It can also mean other things. If you give someone a hard time, guess what? You got a hard time coming back. You know, if you express anger to other people, guess what? That anger is coming back. In other words, what Luke is saying, that Jesus was teaching, is if you give, whatever you give, that's going to come back to you. Am I making sense? And not only is it going to come back to you, it's going to come back to you in larger measure than you gave. Watch this. That grumpy old man that lives across the street that yells at the children who get on his lawn, he didn't just become a grumpy old man. He was a grumpy young man. And as life went on, he grumped and grumped and grumped, and that's how he became a grumpy old man. Have you ever known anyone who was stubborn? My wife occasionally accuses me of being stubborn. She says, well, you're just a stubborn old man. Well, what she's really saying is you've been stubborn ever since I've known you. You were stubborn when you were young. You gave stubborn when you got older. And now you're really, really, really stubborn. Well, let's take and apply the same principle to money. Jesus says, listen, if you give, what happens? It will be given to you. And how? More than you gave. Time of confession. Sometimes in my own life, I have discovered that the reason why God couldn't bless me with more is because He couldn't trust me with what He'd already given me. Does that make sense? Does it make sense that the God of this entire universe, who wants the best for us, who's looking out for us, but wants me to bring Him glory in the way that I live my life, if I'm not giving Him glory with my wealth, if I'm not giving Him glory with my attitude, if I'm not giving Him glory with the way I'm living my life, He is under no obligation to bless me. Give, and it will be given to you. Let me change it just a little bit and do no damage to the text, because a pastor will tell you, this has exactly the same meaning. I'm just going to insert two letters. If you give, it will be given to you. Let me insert another word. Since you give, it will be given to you. The whole idea of this capital fundraising campaign is for us to take a look at what God is blessing us with, praying, seeking God's face, and then making a commitment on a pledge card as to what we're going to give over the next 3 years, over and above our tithe, for the purpose of relentless getting ready to buy a building or build a building or steal a building or buy this building. But that money that God has given us, we're going to take part of that and donate it to Relentless, commit it to Relentless, so that God can do whatever He's going to do with getting Relentless into a permanent location. Give, and it will be given to you. Not only will it be given to you, it will be given to you in good measure. That's a term which means whatever you buy, they're putting more into it. You go to the store and you buy a pound of bologna, and they give you an extra slice. That's good measure. Give, and it will be pressed down. What the Lord is saying there, if you buy a bushel of corn and they press it down, they're giving you more than what you ever have. Running over. Whatever you give, God is going to give back to you, and He's going to give you more than what you gave to Him. Third principle of stewardship, the priority of stewardship. Watch this. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, And what? All these things will be given to you. What is the priority of us, of our giving? Well, the Bible teaches us that an act of worship is to give God the first part of what we have. It's called the first fruits. Actually, what I'm saying is that if we give God the first part, God will make sure that we're able to live on the rest of it. The Bible says that we're to seek first what? The kingdom of God. And if we do that, it's God's responsibility to make sure that we are taken care of in the rest of our life. The priority of stewardship is simply this. We are to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. That word righteousness there in the Greek, it's an interesting term. Righteousness, that means to be in a right position. What am I talking about? Being in a right position with God. Years ago, I found out what right position means in the Marine Corps. I was stationed at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. I had a friend who was a captain. I was an enlisted man. We were walking down the sidewalk one day toward the PX, which was the store there on base, and suddenly a car pulls up. It's got these flags on it, and it's a full bird colonel who's being driven in the car, and that car comes to a screeching halt. That colonel jumps out. He comes up to that lieutenant and to me, and he says, "You guys are out of position." And I thought, well, what in the world is he talking about? And he said, the right position is that when you're walking with an officer, the officer walks in front, the enlisted man walks one step back and to the right of the officer. That's the right position in the Marine Corps. Righteousness means that we are in a right position with God. And what that means is everything that we are living with and everything that we're living for, we are living in a right position with God. It means our attitude is right with God. It means our giving is right with God. It means our lifestyle is right with God. It means our marriage is right with God. It means our children, we are right with them because we're right with God. Righteousness means that we are right with God. So seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. And what? Here's the promise. All these things will be what? Given to you. Meaning it's God's responsibility when we are in a right relationship with Him to take care of all of our needs. Fourth priority is the product of stewardship. Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, I want to focus on that top line. A generous person will prosper. Folks, that sounds like a promise, doesn't it? A generous person will prosper. What it simply means is we are generous with our giving, God is going to make sure that we prosper. You're going to be asked to make a pledge. You're going to be asked to pray and ask God, God, what is the pledge, what is the commitment that you are asking me to make to immeasurably more the capital fundraising campaign of Relentless Church? Lord, what is the number that you give me? And if you pray and God answers that prayer by giving you the number, then it's also God's responsibility to provide that you're going to give through you. Does that make sense? Let me give you some illustrations. These are actual illustrations from folks that we've worked with and churches that we've worked with over the years. A couple years ago, I was working with a church in Stuart, Florida. International, it was a Nazarene International Church of the Nazarene. It was called International Church Ministries of the Nazarene. They'd gotten into some financial problems. They'd had a contractor who had overspent. They got into difficulty. The bank was foreclosing, probably going to lose the church. I got a call. Can you come and help us? we decided, okay, first thing we got to do is we got to put together a capital fundraising campaign because we got to raise the funds. If we raise enough funds, there was a financing institution that was willing to step in. And so we had to go before the membership, and we had to do what we're doing with you. We're asking the membership, pray. Seek God's will. Ask God, what is my part in this capital fundraising campaign? God, you give me that number. I'm going to make that commitment on a pledge, and then I'm going to trust you to make it happen. Are you with me? Lady by the name of Jennifer Lee, she talked to me after that service, and she said she was going to pray through it and make her commitment. And I went on home, and a couple days later, I got a text from Jennifer Lee. And she astounded me with the number. It was a six-figure number. Now, she wasn't really that wealthy. She was okay, but she was making a six-figure pledge to that Nazarene church in Stuart, Florida. Within six months later, I got another text from her, and she said, we made it. Now, the name Jennifer doesn't ring a bell with you, but if you shoot pool, or if you've ever watched any of the special pool shooting on ESPN, Jennifer's nickname is called the Black Widow. She's a professional pool shooter. You know who I'm talking about. She's won several tournaments around the country, has for years, gives lessons. The Black Widow is her name. She sent me a text and she said, I just signed a long-term contract with ESPN. Praise God, I'm increasing my commitment to our capital campaign. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. Jennifer, increasing her pledge. Lisa Polinski. That name doesn't ring a bell with you. It shouldn't. She's in Danville, Illinois. She's a school teacher. She's been a part of First Nazarene Church of Danville, Illinois for years. She's probably in her mid-40s, living a good life. She's teaching. She was married. She's enjoying life. And all of a sudden, her life falls apart. Her husband walks in one evening and said, I'm leaving. I'm gone. She loved that man. He broke her heart. Church gathered around her. They surrounded her. They prayed with her. They worked with her through that process and over about a 6 or 8 months of grieving. And finally, she was getting along when the second knockdown happened. She found out that she had cancer. Serious cancer. She had to go through chemo, she had to go through surgery, she had to go through months and months and even beyond a year of cancer treatment. In the second year, they finally pronounced her cancer-free. Praise God. We're there for a capital campaign. She is loved by that church. She is named campaign director, First Nazarene, Danville, Illinois. She told me, I'm prayed through what my commitment is going to be. She says, I'm a teacher. I don't have a lot of money. But I've gone through all of my bank statements. I've gone through my credit card statements for the last 3 years. And I have removed everything that I think is just frivolous spending. If I eat out, I'm donating that to the capital campaign. If I stop at Starbucks, I'm donating that money to the capital campaign. Any vacations? I'm not taking any vacations. I'm donating that to the capital campaign. She went on and on and on and on about what she was going to be donating to the capital fundraising campaign. And she said, I prayed through that. And I finally said, Lord, what is my commitment to this capital campaign? And she prayed through it. And the number that kept coming to her mind was higher than the number that she knew she could afford. And so she backed that number down and prayed about it. And she prayed about it. And she prayed about it. But she could never get comfortable with the lower number. Finally, she said, okay, Lord, I'm going to make that commitment. I'm going to make that pledge of a higher number. But, Lord, I can't do that on my own. You're going to have to provide it for me. We had a successful capital fundraising campaign. They were doing the renovation of the sanctuary. They were putting in a coffee shop. They were redoing their children's wing. We set up a line of credit with the bank. They were going through the renovation process, and I got a text from Lisa Polinsky. She said, you're not going to believe what I got today. And so I texted her back, and I said, what did you get today? And she said, you're not going to believe this. She said, you know, I had cancer. The insurance company audited my file, and they discovered that I had that the company and the hospital and all these cancer treatments had been overpaid. And they were sending me a refund of what had been overpaid, and she gave me the amount, and it was substantial. She didn't know she was going to get a refund. Nobody knew she was going to get a refund, but God knew she was going to get a refund. She made out a check, one check, for the commitment that she had made to the church. Now, do I believe that God took that file and placed that file on that insurance auditor's desk? I don't believe that. But I've never known an insurance company to audit a file. But you won't convince Lisa Polinsky that God was at work in somewhere, somehow, that some auditors picked up a file and said, I need to audit this file, and discovered that there was an overpayment and that this lady needed to be sent a refund check worth five figures in that refund. I've never heard of such a thing. But Lisa Polinsky has. Casa de Avivamiento Church. I asked Raph this morning how I did with that. I took French in high school, not Spanish. Did I do good with that? Casa de Avivamiento, fairly decent. Anyway, church in Charlotte, bilingual church, Spanish and English. We do a capital fundraising campaign for them. Successful capital fundraising campaign. After the campaign is over, they had a situation where they were renting a property. Does that sound familiar? And they had a timeline that the landlord told them they were going to have to be out of the church. Now, it was fairly close to your timeline, like a two-year timeline, but they knew they had to get moving. So they began to look for property. They began to look for property, and over a period of a couple of months, they couldn't find property, couldn't find property, couldn't find property. Finally, they got a call from a realtor about a piece of property just off an exit of the bypass around Charlotte at Mint Hill, North Carolina. It was 15 acres, zoned residential, for sale for $545,000. And so we met at the property. We looked at the property. They made an offer for the property. We put the financing together for the property. They purchased that property with 15% down. Two things. They applied for zoning changes and all these other things with that property. And about 2 months later, the city of Mint Hill changed the zoning on all the property around their property from residential to commercial. Do you know what that means? It means that that property, which was valued at about $35,000 per acre, went to about $135,000 an acre in a six-month period. In other words, God gave them $1 million worth of equity in the land that they had purchased. Folks, that's a God thing. The earth and the what belongs to the Lord? The fullness. A member, when we were looking at the property, came up to me. His name is Harvey. He was one of the members of the church. And he said, I got to tell you a story. I said, well, brother, just tell it. Just lay it on me. He said, my wife and I were praying about what we were going to do, what we were going to commit in this capital fundraising campaign. And he said, my wife works and I work, and so we prayed separately. And so he said, we prayed separately, and he said, the number that I was thinking was, I thought was too high. But I had to have that number in my mind, because that's just the number that came to mind. And so he said, my wife and I got together, and he said, I was confident that my wife would have a lower number, and we would go with her number. So when they got together and they decided, okay, what is the number that we're going to commit, that we're going to pledge to our capital fundraising campaign here at CDA Church in Charlotte, North Carolina? And his wife surprised him, because she came up with exactly the same number that he had. And he said, that's too much. We can't do that. But they couldn't pray and get comfortable with a lower number, so they turned in that pledge card with that number. Now, this was in November when that capital campaign ended. We're in February when we're looking at that property. He said, let me tell you something interesting happened. He said, my wife works in a business office, and they had never been given a Christmas bonus. This year, they were given their first Christmas bonus. It was a generous Christmas bonus. And we were able to take part of that Christmas bonus and pay into our pledge, pay into our commitment. But he said, that's not the end of it. He said, I work for Coca-Cola Bottling. He said, about 2 weeks after we entered our pledge campaign, Pepsi called me. And Pepsi made me a job offer, but it wasn't that much more than what I was going to be paid, and so I turned it down. He said, a couple weeks went by, and another company called me. It was one of those energy drinks. Have you ever heard of Monster energy drinks? Somebody's heard of it, huh? Monster? Yeah, right there's Monster. You're an athlete, aren't you? You play ball, don't you? Monster energy? Anyway, he knows what Monster is. It's an energy drink. They offered him a job worth a whole lot more than what he was making working for Coca-Cola. He said, you can't tell me that God isn't real, and you can't tell me that God doesn't reward his people. Church, Chesapeake, Virginia. Got a call a couple years ago. Pastor had just taken over this church. They had a building on an acre and three quarters. And church was dead in the water. Had a sanctuary that would seat about 130. Pastor had been there about 6 months, and they were filling up the sanctuary. And so he said we had to go to a second service. And he hadn't been there another 6 or 8 months, and they were filling up the sanctuary in the second service. And so he called me and said, we're going to have to do something. Can you come? And so we did a vision and planning seminar for the leadership, and then we planned a capital fundraising campaign. We executed all those things. They had gone to a third service, and they were filling up for the first service. They were filling up for the second service. They were filling up for the third service. They had a line of cars getting in and out of their parking lot, because you can't put that many people on an acre and three quarters. He says, we've got to do something. They started a Friday night service. Friday night service began to fill up. He keeps calling me. Every 2 months he's calling me. He said, we got to do something. We got to do something. We got to do something. They can't find land. They can't find a building. They've got this money coming in. He's told his people, we're going to make a move. They're not making a move because God hasn't opened the door. He's beginning to say, wow, this is really getting tight. And suddenly he calls me up and says, you've got to come to Chesapeake. I need you to set in on a business meeting with me. There was a church there that had bought property, and they were building a $2.5 million building, and they were paying cash for it. They got into about $2 million worth of construction, and the pastor passed away. There had been some funny stuff going on with the finances, so they had a $2 million construction that they had spent, and the building was about 80% done, and the pastor passed away. They had three elders of the church. They couldn't agree on what to do. They finally decided they were just going to disband the church, and each of them were going to go their own way. But they had to do something with the property, and they wanted to take care of the pastor's wife. And so we're sitting in this meeting, and we've got attorneys sitting there, and they've got the deed to the property, and they've got everything out, and they're saying, If you can give us $500,000 so that we can buy the pastor's wife an annuity so she can be taken care of for the rest of her life, we're willing to sign over. We're willing to sign over the property to you as soon as we can close it. Guess what they had in the bank? $507,000. Do you think they took that deal? They took that deal. They wrote that check. The money kept coming in. I just got a notice this week that in November, we're having the dedication service for that completed church in November in Chesapeake, Virginia. Who would have ever thought that that church would go into a $2.5 million facility debt-free? That's God. Filey Church in Richmond, Virginia, capital campaign just last year. They're in much the same situation you are. They were renting a facility. Somebody decided to build, to buy that commercial property and tear it down. They gave them 3 months to get out. Then they extended it to 6 months. We did a capital campaign. We began to look for property to build on, look for a church that we could buy, look for a building we could buy. We couldn't find anything. I finally called the director of missions there, Southern Baptist, and asked them if they had something. This church wasn't Southern Baptist. He said no, but I'll put the word out. Within 2 weeks after that, I got a phone call from a church in a facility that would meet all their needs. That was an older congregation that had dwindled down to 19 people, and their pastor had died. And they wanted to know, they had similar beliefs, could there be a merger? And so we met with the church, worked out, negotiated a merger. That church is now occupying that church. They're having two services, one for those 19 people who are still there. The later service is for their own people. And God put two churches together. That's God. Final point. Talking about the product of stewardship. Finally, the praise of stewardship. Very quickly, because I've got to get you out of here. I've got something in my pocket. Let me see if I can pull it out. I do. I carry these with me. These are replicas of a mite. Do you know what a mite is? In the last week before Jesus would be crucified, he was at the temple. And people, thousands of people were giving at the temple. And Jesus pointed out one widow who gave two mites. That was the smallest offering that was probably given in that day. But Jesus singled that widow out because why? Because she gave all that she had to the Lord's work. I don't think God calls us to give all that we have all the time, but I don't think that's the last time or the only time that widow did it. I think she was in a habit of giving all that she had to God, because you know why? She correctly realized that when she gave God everything, he was going to bless her with everything that she had. That's the praise of stewardship. Here's my prayer for you. My prayer is that you will take that commitment card and you will begin to pray over that commitment card. That you will say, God, what is my commitment? What is our pledge to this capital fundraising campaign? Because we love Relentless, and we believe Relentless is going to have a place of its own. And you pray over that commitment card. And my prayer for you is that the number that you put on that pledge card will be a number that will be pleasing to God, just like Jesus was pleased with the giving of the widow. We serve a watch this God. What do I mean by this? Simply this. Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. Get all the way to the Red Sea. They got the Red Sea in front of them. They got Pharaoh's army coming up behind them. It is a dark time for the Israelites. Moses sticks the staff out over the water, and it's almost as if you can read in Scripture, in that spiritual voice, God saying, watch this. There was a time when David was visiting his brothers because his dad told him to take him lunch, and they were battling the Philistines, and Goliath was down in the valley, and nobody had the nerve to go down and take Goliath on. And so David said, well, I'll go down there and take that guy on. And the Philistines were laughing, and David's brothers were pushing the panic button because you could know what their dad was going to say to them when he brought the body of David home. But David went down into that valley, and as you go down into that valley, you can almost hear the Spirit of God saying, watch this. Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, the Baal prophets are doing their thing, and the sacrifice won't light. And Elijah says, put water on it, put water on it. Elijah prayed that afternoon, and God sent fire and consumed the sacrifice. You can hear the voice of God saying, watch this. That Sunday morning, the women were going to the tomb. Jesus had been crucified. Everybody had lost hope. But as the women are making their way to the tomb, you can hear the voice of God saying, watch this. Relentless, I have no clue what God is going to do with you, but I do know this. God has a plan. God has a future for Relentless. And as I got out of my car this morning and I was walking into this building, I could almost hear the voice of God saying, hey, Relentless. Watch this.
Watch this. I love that. I love that. I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads and pray with me as we head out today. Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. I thank you so much for your son, Jesus, for his love, for his grace, Lord. We come here, we came believing, expecting, God, for immeasurably more, God, because you're such a big God, because your love is so big, because, Lord, we know that you love us and that you're for us and that you're with us, God. Help us to step into the faith, Lord, the big, fat, juicy faith that we like to talk about here at Relentless, God, as we lean into this campaign and beyond that, and into who you're calling us to be in our lives personally and in our relationships and everywhere we go. God, help us to live out a big faith that truly demonstrates, hey, watch this, my God's about to do something. God, that's who we want to be. We love you. We praise you. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.